You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. In today's show, I'm going to be talking about trading in fantasy basketball leagues, as well as doing a fantasy check-in on the Toronto Raptors, the Utah Jazz, and the Washington Wizards. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Hi guys, I want to talk about trading in fantasy basketball because someone like me who does get a lot of questions over on Basketball Monster, on the forums, in the user polls over there, in the comments section, of course on Twitter, in the comments on YouTube as well, I'm constantly getting people asking questions about trades. Should I do this trade? Do I accept this trade? Hey, I just did this trade. What do you think? Do you like it? And it comes at me all the time. And nearly in every single case, in majority of cases, the answer is going to be, it depends. And I'm not sure that people actually fully understand what I mean by that. Now, first of all, we'll talk points leagues first, because that's a little bit more of a different story. And people will ask me, in a points league, do I do this trade for this trade? And generally, if you're asking me that question, the first thing I need to know is, first thing I'm going to say is, I don't know what your scoring setting is. So you need to tell me that. And then you need to be able to tell me, what are these players averaging for the season over the last couple of weeks? In general, you can have a look at that and work that out if it's a good trade. If a guy's averaging 30 fantasy points per game and another player is averaging 20 fantasy points per game, and it's not because one player has got an extreme bump due to an injury or another player has got an extreme downgrade because of an injury, then the 30 point per game guy is the one you win. Someone will ask me a question, this guy averages 29.6, the other one averages 29.4, do I do the trade? And my initial question to that is, why? And the only viable reason in that sort of situation is, well, not only, because there's a couple, positional variability. I need an extra point guard, he needs a center, let's make that switch, they're equally productive. Or a guy's got a recent boost in production, or a recent downturn as he returns from injury, other players around, trades, all that sort of stuff. So, if you're asking questions about points leagues, it's impossible for you to come out and say to me, I'm trading Donovan Mitchell for Nick Vucevic in a points league. Is it good? Because I don't know. Your league might reward double-doubles with 10 bonus points. They might really not value, and maybe Vucevic and Mitchell's not a great comparison because Vuc is probably ahead of him in pretty much all situations, but not necessarily every one of them. And then you've got to weigh up those things. So without that information, yeah, answering those questions is pretty much impossible, because scoring systems can include efficiency, in which Mitchell would lose a ton of value because of his poor shooting and Vucevic's high field goal percentage. If it doesn't include that, then it might be a little bit closer. And there's extreme variability in those. It's never a case of, unless you're saying, you know, should I trade Donovan Mitchell for Deion Waiters, which of course would be a nonsense, then there's no clear-cut answer just on the surface of those sort of deals. So you can look at these things. What is a player averaging? You can check what they're projected to average for the rest of the season on basketballmonster.com as well. And you know, you make those adjustments and you can see, okay, what has happened over the past couple of weeks. If you ask those questions, I can provide answers. Well, this guy's numbers are down over the last bit because of this time. I expect them to come up. I expect this other player's numbers to drop. Therefore, trade may work, may not, whatever. But that's, you know, we're talking about points leagues. But category leagues, it gets a lot more complicated. And again, people ask these questions all the time, and nearly always the answer is going to be, it depends. It depends on your team, and that's why, of course, Basketball Monster is such a great utility, because you can judge what the impact of all these trades will have on your team. I'm not even talking about things like I'm trading for playoff schedule, or I'm trading for shutdown risk, I think is bullshit anyway. Trade possibilities. I'm just talking about the overall production of guys, and I've got a few examples of potential trades which, on the surface, seem like they are equal or may not be equal, but end up trades can easily be one team wins, one team loses, both team wins, both teams win, or both teams lose. It can really easily be that way. It all depends on the scenario. So let's go through four different scenarios that I've got here. The first trade I want to talk about is Kyle Lowry and Nick Batum. So basically, you know, Batum's a droppable sort of 12-team league guy. So he is a filler guy. And anytime you're doing a 2-for-1, if you're getting two players back, you need to drop someone off your team. meaning it ends up being a two-for-two trade. If you're the one getting the one, you need to add someone off the waiver wire, so you have a look. And when you're doing trade analysis, it's always a good idea to do that. If you're getting the one, I guess you can count that second spot as a stream-type position as well. But having an idea of who that player is going to be, at least initially, gives you a great way of being able to judge that deal. So I'm looking at Kyle Lowry and Nick Batum in a deal here for Jason Tatum and Pascal Siakam. And I'm using the Basketball Monster rest of season projections here. So, for example, Lowry's projected as the 27th best player the rest of the season, Batum the 137th, Tatum the 59th, and Siakam the 74th. So Lowry, the best player in the deal, along with a throw-in like Batum at 137. Tatum and Siakam, both mid-round, 59 to 74. And their overall value, it's basically an even trade in terms of the value difference between the two, 0.01. So that's as even as it gets in terms of overall. And people always say, what about overall value? Well, this trade is overall neutral. It is an overall exactly fair trade. Well, not exactly, it's 0.01 difference, but it's a fair trade. It's an equal trade. But that's not how this works, because if you go over down here, you can see on the bottom right of your screen, the values in each of the categories, how they all change, and you can see greens and reds. So that team there that's acquiring, and if you are listening to this audio, go and have a look at the YouTube video as well so you can see all the information on the trade. So if you have a look on this one here, the team that's acquiring Tatum and Siakam, based on how I'm projecting things out, they gain in points. They get a significant bump in points there. They lose in three-pointers, they gain in rebounds, they lose a ton of assists, they're neutral in steals, they gain a bit in steals, they gain a bit in blocks, they gain a bit in field goal percentage, a lot in field goal percentage, and they lose a lot in free throws. So over on the right-hand side, really the bottom right there, you can see those numbers, greens and reds, and then you get some dark greens and dark reds. So it's overall, it's an even trade. But in the whole scheme of things, it's very, very far from even. You are getting a huge difference in field goal percentage. For example, Tatum and Siakam, I've got them projecting to average out at 51%. Lowry and Batum, 43%. So that's an 8 percentage point difference in the average between what those guys do. And the impact on your team in this trade is massive in that category. Same with assists. The Z-score difference between the average assists of Lowry and Batum versus Tatum and Siakam is a negative 3.79. So you could be up the top in assists, you do this trade, even fair trade, and then you lose assists and your team's screwed. So it makes a huge amount of difference as to what your team looks like on an even trade. A fair deal. Is this true in overall value? Oh yeah, look, it's perfect. It's fine. It is absolutely even in overall value, but that means absolutely jack shit when you're looking at your fantasy team. Overall value means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And you can be a team that I'm not punting it. That's not even what that's about. Because we're talking about two Z-score differences a 2 Z-score difference in field goal percentage, a 3.7 Z-score difference in assists, a 1.7 difference in three-pointers. In fact, the only category here, actually that's not true, there's not even one category that has a difference of 0.5 in terms of Z-score difference. The lowest change here is free throw percentage, going from 85 to 79% with the attempts factored in. So that Z-score difference is the lowest impact, and it's still a big impact. So you're basically changing significant amount of your team, even though it's an overall neutral trade. And it's important you realize that. Now, if you send me your team and go, this is who my team is, it's going to be hard for me to judge all that, and I'm not going to go in and calculate everyone's averages and work out how it fixes your team or changes your team. But a trade like this, a seemingly neutral trade, a fair trade, an even trade, is very much not that. It has a big impact across multiple categories. You are losing a shit ton of assists. You are gaining a massive amount of field goal percentage. You are gaining points. You are gaining rebounds. You are gaining steals and blocks, and you are losing threes. So out of 8 categories in this trade, if you're getting Tatum and Siakam, you're getting a positive boost in 5 categories, but you're losing a lot in 3 categories. And that really does depend on how the rest of your team is set up. So that's an example of a neutral trade, an even trade, that shows the discrepancies in those areas. Let's look at another deal. This one we're looking at a 1-for-1 deal. Andre Drummond for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal projected as the 30th best player for the rest of the season. Andre Drummond projected as the 50th best player for the rest of the season. But again, This is a trade where you'd look at the overall value and go, well, the value of Beal there is 0.31 and Drummond is 0.07, 30 versus 50. It's a clear win to the Beal side. And while, yes, that is true, is it though? Because it really depends on your team. Now, getting Beal in exchange for Drummond, you get a boost in points, you get a boost in threes, you get a huge, huge turnaround in free throw percentage, huge, and you get an increase in assists. So that's a four-category positive. You also lose four categories. So you get a huge downturn in rebounds. You get fewer steals, significantly fewer blocks, and a lower field goal percentage. So in this case, it is four-category bonus one way, four categories the other. And when the other trade, which was an even deal, that was a 5-3. So is this one more even than the other one? Again, it comes down to your team. What is your team doing? Is getting off Andre Drummond's... Is getting... You know, if you're trading away Beal and getting Drummond because your team is already struggling in threes and is already bad at free throws, so adding Drummond's rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage to the mix actually helps your team more. You can't know that without looking at your specific team. And on the surface, nearly everybody would say, oh, Beal over Drummond, it's a clear win for Beal. But it's not. It really does depend on your team. And that difference of 0.24 in terms of the value between these two players, it doesn't really mean that much. You've got to break it down category-wise. And you know, it's also other factors to take in. You know, do I have any other shooting guards on my team? Do I have any centers left on my team? Do I have too many centers now? All that factors in as well. But I'm just talking about pure statistical production, not games played and positions and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's really important to be able to illustrate the difference between what a trade looks like on the surface and when you actually break it down. The next deal I'll have a look at is one where we go with Bradley Beal for Domantas Sabonis. So you're using Beal again, and with that Drummond deal, people could make that argument and say, well, of course, you know, you punt free throws, Drummond and Beal are about the same. Okay, that's fine. In this one, I don't think anyone on the surface would look at Sabonis and say that is a fair deal for Beal at all. And again, the gain there is 0.26. It's only marginally better off for the Beal owner than that Drummond deal. It is a bit different though. Now, with a Beal for Sabonis deal, you gain a lot in threes, you gain a lot in points, and then you've got some marginal gains in assists, steals, blocks, and free throws. So it's a 6-2 victory. But you also lose a massive amount of rebounds and a huge amount of field goal percentage over two standard scores in both of those areas. Now, we could look at it from those, you know, that assist is a relatively neutral number, the free throws is sort of neutral. Which one of these guys wins? Now, it's 6-2 in the positive to the Beal side, so the Beal side would win. But again, it depends on how your team looks. Would getting Sabonis' numbers in that rebound and field goal percentage category, would that make up the difference for losing the assists, the points, the threes? It's closer than you think. And then on the flip side, you can look at it. Well, it's basically the same overall deal value as Beal versus Drummond, Beal versus Sabonis. But the distribution of how it all pans out is significantly different. And it is important to pay attention to those individual factors when making a deal. The last deal I want to take a look at is two top 10 projected players. Kawhi Leonard, who is projected as the 6th ranked player the rest of the season, Joel Embiid as the 7th ranked player. They've both got a value of 0.92, so exactly equal in value. And this, I'll get this, you know, do I trade my Anthony Davis for James Harden? People will ask this question. Like, if you've got Kawhi on your team, if you've got Embiid on your team, you have built your team around those guys. And I'll get this question, you know, which one do I take? Well, again, look at it. You get Kawhi versus Embiid is a massive change in steal numbers, almost a 3 standard score difference. Blocks, it's the other way, a 2 standard score difference. Rebounds, a 2 standard score difference. So when we're talking about big gains here, Embiid gets 2 massive positives with rebounds and blocks and loses a lot on steals. The other categories, they're not that far off. Threes, of course, goes to Leonard. Points, it's a marginal boost to Embiid. Field goal percentage and assist is almost exactly the same. And free throw percentage, you get a boost there with Kawhi. So overall, the deal is neutral. But again, it depends on how you've built your team because these are huge, wild swings. Look how dark that red is on the steals number. Look how bright the green is in the blocks and the rebounds. They are team-changing deals, which again, on the surface, and if this was a points league and they were both averaging the same points, it wouldn't make any difference. But these are deal team-changing, potentially league-changing type deals. And there's never a simple answer to it. Now, you could make the... And I picked both these guys because they both had injury problems, rest concerns, all that sort of stuff. So nothing sways either way there. It all depends on how your team looks. So when you're coming to me and asking me about a trade, and I say it depends, this is why. Because a trade which may seem even, which may seem lopsided, like the Beal-Drummond trade, in most cases, they're not even, or they're not lopsided, or there's clear winners or losers, or both teams are winners, or both teams are losers, depending on how the rest of their squad is built up. This is why I prefer category leagues over points leagues significantly, because of all the extra nuance that goes into building a team into making deals. It's not like you average 30, you average 25, I win the trade, bang, suck. There's winners, all losers. You could make this trade, and while it's even on the surface, both teams could get worse. As dumb as that sounds, I'm getting Embiid back, I'm trading Kawhi, but you could make your team worse, while the other team gets worse as well. Bit like the Suns and the Wizards in their deal. This is what the possibilities are. So when you come and ask me a trade question or ask a trade question, remember there is way more that goes into it than just the two players or the three players or the four players that are involved. A fantasy trade is never as simple as what it appears on the surface or boiling it down to overall value. And I hope that this gives you some sort of indication as to why I say overall value or in a vacuum is a pile of shit, because it is. I hope this helps you guys out to understand where I'm coming from when I say that and understanding the nuance behind trades. Thank you. Fantasy check-in now for the Toronto Raptors. Currently dealing with a couple of injuries. Jonas Valanciunas out for the next couple of weeks with that dislocated thumb. So that means we get some more playing time for someone like Greg Munro, who's been okay, but he's not really going to be a 12-team league guy, more a 14, probably 16-team league guy. In Valanciunas' absence, Serge Ibaka also dealing with his own injuries. He's been fantastic this season. A huge surprise for Ibaka. The efficiency's gone sky high. He's not really taking as many threes as what he was in the past. The field goal percentage, the blocks are coming back up. He has been a huge, huge surprise player to me. He's currently a top 35 player over the last 2 weeks, while Kawhi Leonard just doing his thing, the 7th-ranked player over the last 2 weeks, really settling in. And I do think that the back-to-back restrictions are going to go away the next time the Raptors do have a back-to-back. Pascal Siakam just settling in the mid-rounds at the moment. The field goal percentage, which was absolutely crazy, he started to come back down. He's only at 53% from two over the last couple of weeks. He was at like 68% for the beginning of the season, and that was pushing him to be a top 30 sort of a fantasy player. He's back down outside the top 50 now, and I think this is a more realistic expectation for him. While the Raptors, who they've been dealing with injuries to Kawhi and to Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet has pushed his way back up. 30 minutes a game for VanVleet, and we're seeing what he can do when giving a starter's opportunity. 30 minutes per game, the 76th-ranked player. I think that if he was to play a full 32, 33 minutes a game in a long-term Lowry injury situation, VanVleet could push the top 50. We know Lowry's out for the next two games, so that makes Fred a decent enough add, and Lowry's dealing with this troublesome back, which could mean more games off in the future. So VanVleet has some short-term value there. As for Lowry, he's dropping, that hot start was never sustainable. We're seeing him drop off at the moment, and it is a little bit worrisome for a guy approaching the age of 33 to be dealing with this back injury. A guy who's never been really robust in resisting injuries. Well, Danny Green, he's fine for 12-team leagues. I think he's pretty limited in terms of upside, but he is a guy that can provide that value, although it can be pretty streaky. Fantasy check-in now for the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell really struggling at the moment with his efficiency especially. He is outside the top 90 over the last 2 weeks, shooting under 36% from the field and under 30% from three. Now, he had his struggles at the beginning of last season, pretty much all of October and November. He was a real, real negative in terms of that field goal percentage, but it picked back up. And I do imagine a big jump up's going to come here for the Don, and he's going to probably approach, or at least have stretches of top 30 play. It is a significant buy low moment for me. If you're punting field goal percentage, the value looks pretty good in itself, and there's significant scope for him to get better. So I think he's a pretty strong buy low guy at the moment. While Gobert, not really doing what we need him to do, only 1.7 blocks per game over his last seven. Field goal percentage under 55, and they're the two real bellwethers of his game. But in a positive note, the free throws are up at 77%. And that was a real concern with Gobert. He is outside the top 50, but he can also get better. Well, Joe Ingles, another buy low-ish type of a player, although his performance on Wednesday might make that a little bit harder. He's outside the top 120 over the last 2 weeks, only 28 minutes a game, shooting only 42% from the field and only 37% from three. Those numbers are due to come back up, but the assists are still nice. The steals are still there, and I think that he's going to get better. Jay Crowder and Derek Favors in that 100 to 120 range. They're sort of alternating starts depending on the matchups. I don't really think either of them are must-roster 12-team league guys, but if they're on your 12-team roster, they can produce. It's just going to be ups and downs and streakiness and, you know, more matchups dependent and team-dependent. If you want high field goal percentage and blocks, Favors is your guy. If you want some threes out of a power forward eligible player, then Jay Crowder can be that guy. He's also shooting really well from the free throw line. Ravishing Rick Rubio also declining, 36% from the field. 12 points with 5 rebounds and a steal. He is outside the top 140 over the last 2 weeks. I still believe that he is a must-roster 12-team league guy, and there is some upside coming there for Rubio. The rest of the Jazz team, I don't really see any sort of breakout type of guys. The next highest-ranked player after Rubio is George Niang, and then you've got Exum and Cephalosha and Royce O'Neal, and no one who's really, you know, clamoring for a larger role. The guy you'd watch if injuries struck would be Grayson Allen, but he is a long way off at the moment with Korver taking his spot in the rotation and after Allen had outplayed Alec Burks for portions of the season. Fantasy check-in on the Washington Wizards. Trevor Ariza's first two games as a member of the Wizards again have been fantastic. 9 steals in those two games. I believe he's a must-roster player in 12 and probably in 10-team leagues as well, although, of course, that steal rate is going to drop off, and he can be an issue for your field goal percentage, while Beal and Wall just providing that top 25 value. Beal is a lot more consistent than what Wall is. Wall will have these big 40-point games, and he'll have 10-point games. His assists are obviously really nice, back to averaging over 10 assists per game over his last 6 games. And Jeff Green, who's getting the start for Otto Porter, he's a top 100 player at the moment. When Porter returns, Green goes back to being a 16-team league player. Sam Decker got some interesting deep league value, while 20-team leaguers want to pay attention to Chasen Randle, who is in that backcourt mix given the lack of depth there. Thomas Satoransky, I don't like the way that the minutes have been reduced for him with Rivers and Oubre leaving and Ariza arriving. Hard to have him as a 12-team league guy. He's probably more I really like Satoransky, but he's more of a 14 or 16 team league guy, while Thomas Bryant, the starting center, he's playing better of late. Not a standard league guy, more of a 16-team league guy. While Markieff Morris really in a hole at the moment, outside the top 290 in the last 2 weeks, you can move on in 10-team leagues, and in 12-team leagues, you'll probably find a better waiver wire option out there than Markieff Morris, who is notoriously flaky in terms of his consistency of production. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. Make sure you're subscribing, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. And of course, follow me on Twitter @RedRock_Beeble. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.